At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A rumor for Lee Lowe. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops-Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Got a tremendous podcast for you as we're going to be continuing our conference previews, and today we dive into the Big West, which I can tell you right now, out of all the conference previews I've done, this is going to be number 4. This was the hardest one to come up with a projected order of finish for, because it's a very tight conference. We very rarely have seen teams repeat as a champion in this conference, as there's been a lot of competition at the top. And last year, we wound up seeing Cal State Fullerton wind up being the representative out there in the NCAA tournament. So we need a little bit of help being able to evaluate these rosters, take a look at just a little bit more about these teams in general. So we do a go out to the great state of California in the second segment. Steve Quist does a great job as a play-by-play broadcaster for ESPN, does a lot of their West Coast games. So he is going to be joining me. We're going to be diving into all these teams, and he also does some play-by-play work with UC San Diego, who wound up joining this conference a few seasons ago, so he has been able to see a lot of these programs up close and in person. So I'm going to be diving into the rosters, some of the guys are coming in, some of the guys are leaving, so that'll be fun in the first segment, as I always do with regards to these conference previews. So I'm going to be diving into more of the analytics, the betting trends that we've been seeing with the Big West over last season, and really the last few seasons in general as well. Take a look at the various styles of play for these schools as well. And then in the final segment, I'm going to give you guys my projector or finish for the Big West, as I always do when I wind up having a conference preview on this podcast, since I'm not going to be doing the news and notes of college basketball from Wednesday. I'll be doing Wednesdays and Thursdays on the podcast tomorrow, so you guys won't be missing a thing there. And if you ever do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at unit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, Arable Fire, whatever you'd like to hear from this podcast, buy that 5-star review. We have taken care of the formalities, so let's get down to it and let's take a look at the Big West. And what you notice out there in the Big West, you didn't wind up seeing a whole lot of teams going way rambunctious with regards to the offense, as you wound up having two teams average more than 70.2 points per game last season. That'd be Long Beach State and UC Santa Barbara. And what I thought was very intriguing about Long Beach State, you take a look at what they did out of conference versus in conference, and they were a completely different team under Dan Monson. They really turned over a new leaf. When it got to conference play, they were giving up 67.5 points per game. Out of conference, it was north of 80 points per game. Now, part of it is because they wound up playing against UCLA twice. Just, you wind up having a Long Beach State program that typically they are going to have some discrepancies from their non-conference play versus their conference play, because Long Beach State is one of those teams that they are very notorious for taking a lot of these bye games. They wind up playing just this absolutely brutal and Herculean schedule to begin the season. So that's part of the reason why Long Beach State out of conference, it did not go well for them. They wound up going 6-10 and conference. Now that also includes the conference tournament as well. But that said, in conference, 14-3. They were your number one team out there. And you really did wind up seeing a little bit of a scattering with regards to this, because you wound up having COVID-19 wind up canceling more games in this conference than really any other conference out there in the country. Like, you take a look at the dead last team, Cal State Bakersfield, they went 2-14 above them. You got a team in CSUN, Cal State Northridge, they wound up actually playing two extra games. They wound up going 3-15. UC Davis actually played the fewest games of any team in college basketball last year at the Division I ranks. They were 13-11 overall, 6-6 in conference play. So they wound up finishing below UC Riverside, who went 10-7, and above UC San Diego, went 7-11. So you got a pair of teams right there that they wound up playing like 5-6 more games in conference than them. So that's always interesting to take a look at. UC Santa Barbara, they went 9-6 in conference, so they only wound up playing 15 conference games. Meanwhile, a school like Hawaii went 12-5. They wound up playing 17. So it was just all over the place. And speaking of all over the place, you just wound up having a lot of teams that they didn't wind up playing very up-tempo. We're going to dive into the over-under trends in a few minutes, but what I found to be just so interesting about the Big West in general is just the slow pace of play that you wound up seeing last season. Now, Long Beach State is very known for playing a little bit more up-tempo, and they were, once again, last year, the team that wound up playing with the highest amount of possessions on a per-game basis. I always do this just a little bit more raw, but with that said, you had a Long Beach State team that they did wind up slowing down a little bit when it came to conference play, and they were able to rein it in a bit more with their defense, but this is a bunch that out of 358 D1 teams, they were 48th in the country with regards to possessions per game. But you take a look at the California schools, Cal State Fullerton, 300th in the country in terms of possessions per game. Cal State Bakersfield, they wound up being 339th. UC Santa Barbara, and I air quotes here, sped up. They were 267th in the country. UC San Diego, 219th. UC Riverside, 293rd. UC Irvine, 336th. Slow, 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 slow. And UC Davis, 195th. What you also found in this conference, not a lot of three-point shooting, because as a matter of fact, UC Irvine, number one team in the country in opponent's three-point shooting percentage. This is not a misprint. This is not me speaking out of line here. Opponents, when they were at home against UC Irvine, so when UC Irvine was the home team, they shot 18.8% from three-point range against them. Now, that speaks to how bad the three-point shooting was in the conference, because most of their games at home, they wanted coming against conference brethren, but that said, that was not necessarily too terrific right there. And there was a big giant delta here, because you wound up seeing UC Irvine be number one in the country there. Cal State Fullerton, among 358 D1 teams, 332nd in opponent's 3-point shooting percentage. Cal State Bakersfield, they wound up being 265th. Meanwhile, you take a look at more of the UC schools, and they wound up doing a very solid job. Like, you saw the UC Santa Barbara be in the top 80 in the country in this category. UC Riverside, they were 30th in the nation. So three-point shooting defense was just all over the place, and that posed for very many different styles of play. Like, UC Riverside is a team that they're willing to bomb threes. UC Irvine, they're a team that they're looking to take no threes whatsoever. They cut you off the three-point line, and they themselves don't wind up taking a lot of threes, which makes it very interesting for being able to gauge these totals. Now, when it comes to in-conference play and in-conference play only, you wind up seeing one runaway team in regards to one category, and that'd be Hawaii. They wound up playing four overs of 15 unders. 79% of their games against teams within the conference, they wound up going under the total. If you're wondering, that was number one in all of college basketball. No other team had a higher under rate in conference, because Hawaii, they played a little bit faster towards the beginning part of the season. They always host that Diamond Head Classic where they're playing against schools like Stanford and Vanderbilt were in their last season, and that winds up throwing things off a little bit more. And then when it comes to more of an against the spread standpoint with the Big West, it was really interesting to take a look at them as well, because you did have a couple teams that they were able to make you some nice coin, especially early on during the season. You wound up seeing a school like a UC San Diego, wound up proving to be one of the lesser teams out there in the conference. They were able to have a nice straight-up win to begin the season against Cal. You wound up seeing Cal State Fullerton be able to knock off a couple of nice schools, and Long Beach State, they were one of the most profitable teams in all of college basketball. A lot of this is because they were able to go on a nice burner run. Things wound up getting thrown way out of whack when they wound up having their early portion of the schedule be, let's call it what it is, quite a few blowouts, and then when they wound up playing against a little bit of a lower level of competition, they were really able to crank things up as they went 21-10 against the spread. And if you're taking a look at what they were able to do in conference, they were an absolute bulldozer. 16-4 against the spread in conference play. If you take a look at all D1 teams and conference against the spread record, they were number one. They were just completely and utterly dominant. So that was something to take a look at. And you also wound up having a school in the bottom 20 with regards to against the spread record in conference. That'd be Cal State Bakersfield. Bakersfield, they just couldn't get online. They actually didn't wind up allowing a lot of too many runs. I know that Evan Miyakawa always did his kill shot ratings when it regards to college basketball, and he always thought that Cal State Bakersfield was weird because I think that they allowed like three runs where they wound up having a 10-0 or greater run that season that they allowed, and they only had one themselves. So they were a team that they just wound up playing some very bland, mundane basketball, and it just did not wind up working out for them whatsoever. So they were a very plain Jane school. But you take a look at the Big West as a whole, and I mentioned Long Beach State, how good that they were able to do. You wound up having another slug in CSUN, Cal State Northridge. That was just a bad situation. Mark Gottfried was on academic leave for the entirety of the season, so you wound up having, I believe, Trent Johnson be the interim coach, and he's going to be the coach moving forward for this team. So it's been a little bit of an issue for them. You wound up having Hawaii go 11-6-2 against the spread, and that's why it's interesting to take a look at, because every school in this conference, aside from Hawaii, is in the state of California. So with Hawaii, typically you wind up having some interesting home and road splits, but last season with Hawaii, away from the island, they went 5-3-2 against the spread. They were actually relatively solid. If you're looking for your best school against the spread on the road, UC Davis, they went 7-2 against the spread. Long Beach State, they weren't far behind, and 9-4 as they were dominant both at home and on the road, with Long Beach State 8-4 against the spread at home. But you did wind up seeing quite a few schools wind up having some dominance at home. The only two schools that were really outliers, Cal State Northridge, Cal State Bakersfield, these were two teams that were right there at the bottom of the conference. CSUN 3-15 straight up in conference. Cal State Bakersfield 2-14 straight up, so they wound up throwing things for a loop. And Cal Poly was actually a halfway decent cover team. They wound up not being able to get the results desired, but this was a team that I still remember from the 2019-20 season. From, I think it was the 2017-18 season, there was a three-year run where they were like the worst team in all of college basketball against the spread. They've had a little bit of a regime change. They've been able to take hold of things a little bit better, and they've actually been able to turn things around just a smidge. I know that we have talked to Steve Quist on this podcast a few times the last few seasons. He wound up joining me for the Big West preview last season. The fact that they wound up losing Jacob Davison when they did last season, that was unfortunate, but things seem to be turning around a little bit there. And if you're just looking at something else that I think is a little bit strange as well, if you want to take a look at favorites and underdogs when it came to this conference as a favorite, you did wind up having a couple dominators out there in the Big West. You wound up having one team in Cal State Bakersfield. They just could not cover anything to save their lives. But UC Davis, Cal State Fullerton, they were straight up 50-50 against the spread as a favorite. But Hawaii, 9-4 against the spread. Long Beach State was 7-5. So you wound up seeing a little bit of dominance there from quite a few of those teams. And then as an underdog, Cal State Fullerton, 7-2-1 against the spread. And really the only teams that were unable to do a good job of covering against the spread as an underdog, Cal State Northridge, because they couldn't cover anything, along with Cal State Bakersfield. So I think that that's really interesting to take a look at moving forward. You've got a little bit of a home court advantage when it comes to a school like Hawaii, but it should be interesting to see what we wind up getting this season in a conference that I think is very closely knit with regards to the level of play just from team 1 through 11 in this conference. So how about if we invite on Steve Quist, does a great job as a UC San Diego play-by-play voice, and he also does a great job calling games for ESPN. He is going to be joining me next. We're going to be diving into all 11 of these rosters with him on the other side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg H. Spearson, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts, as this is the Big West Conference Preview Day.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops, and now part of the VEASAN family of podcasts, as it is a Big West Conference preview. And here to join me is the man that joined me last year for the Big West Conference preview, as this man does an absolutely terrific job of taking a look at college basketball. I know he's done a few games out there in the Midwest, but a lot of his work comes out here on the West Coast. He does most of his work for ESPN when it comes to the college basketball season, but I know that he's done some work over there at Bally Sports West as well, a man that resides out there in the lovely city of San Diego and is the voice of the UC San Diego Trojans, as it is Steve Quist joining me on the show. And you're able to follow him on Twitter at SteveQuist1. Last name is spelled Q-U-I-S. And Steve, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks, man. I love it that we're sitting here in the middle of summer talking Big West hoops. You really like to get after it early, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, because it never rests. We've got 362 teams to take a look at now. So yeah. If we don't knock some of these out now, we're going to be like one of those children trying to do a research paper where they have to put together 25 pages in one night when they were given the whole summer to be able to do so. And we don't want to be like that, but with that said, I think that it's going to be a very interesting conference. And I said it at the top, I think that this is going to be one of the most competitive conferences from 1 through 11 in all of college basketball. And you're the play-by-play voice for UC San Diego. What do you think the outlook is for this team? Because I take a look at losing Tony Rosach. I think that that is really going to wind up hurting them a little bit. But as you know, this is a team that they knocked off Cal last season. They have Bryce Pope, a double-figure scorer, coming back. What do you think the outlook is for the Trojans this season?
Well, so they've already won one big thing, and that was they asked the Big West and were granted an opportunity to make the Big West postseason tournament, which was one. And for anyone who didn't know, they just completed year two of a four-year Division I transition. They didn't count in the standings for either team. So, you know, the first game of the season, we had a buzzer beater against UC Santa Barbara, and it wasn't a win for, you know, the Tritons, and it wasn't a loss for the Gauchos. So finally, they're going to count in the standings. So it's going to mean something. So that's cool. That's the first big win. But you were talking about Tony Rosach. When I was there a couple of weeks ago doing the banquet, we weren't sure whether or not he was coming back or not, as he's such a dynamic scorer. But they did get a big transfer within the conference in Emmanuel Shimanga from UCI. That is a really big get. And then I thought they had, you know, outside of kid at Long Beach State, Abukar Traore, I thought they had the second best, if not the best freshman at times in the conference, in the big in Francis Wakore. And he was just fantastic and big guy that can stretch the floor and hit a three. So another year under his belt, they'll be pretty good. With, Jace Rockamore at the point and Bryce Pope, you know, able to score. I mean, geez, he dropped 27 at Cal in that opener that you were talking about. And he had a 30-point game this season. They could be pretty good. And Jake Kosakowski stretches the floor. He at one point in March was the leader in threes at 47%, at least in the NCAA at field goal percentage. So they've got the pieces. They've got a recruiting class of three young guys that are going to come in. So Eric Olin's team, I think, will have an opportunity probably to qualify for one of those spots in Henderson at the end of the year for the Big West tournament.
Yeah, but I live out here in Henderson. I remember that Big West tournament. It was actually played right down the street from me at the Dollar Loan Center. It was actually a very good one. A team that I'm not sure if we're going to be seeing them there or not, that would be CSUN, though, as Trent Johnson had to take over a complete and utter mess last season because Mark Gottfried just left a trail of not-so-great stuff in his wake, and it's a CSUN team that they're trying to mix and match. They've brought in a couple guys via the transfer portal. I just take a look at things, and I don't know if any of these guys are necessarily going to be impact guys right away, so that's going to be an issue. They weren't necessarily great on offense. They weren't necessarily great on defense, and when you've got all this turnover, a guy like Deshaun Ellenikens coming in from New Orleans, yeah, that's going to help a little bit, but I think a look at this bunch, and I think that's going to be another long year for them.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because just today they announced, I guess they put the finishing touches on the 9 new guys coming in, so that's a lot. I mean, imagine how important summer is going to be.
That's turnover.
The good thing, though, is that, like, Trent Johnson, everyone in that program, you know, people haven't followed, like, everyone in that program is like an interim coach, with the exception of like Dave Serrano in baseball. I mean, it's just in the athletic department, it got really, really bad. The men's and women's head coaches were interim. Now they finally, you know, have decided on some people to move forward. So to get a little continuity there. But yeah, I mean, 4 Division I transfers, 2 JUCO transfers, 3 incoming freshmen, and adding a ton of size, which is not something that they've had before. They've always had at least one good scorer, but, you know, they got a kid in from Murray State, Deontay Bostic, and then added a 3-point shooter from North Dakota who played in 90 games. So they might, you know, be a team that would be a tough out, but, you know, rebuilding with 9 new guys, and I'm sure it's not going to be as futile as it was watching them play here this year, because it was kind of sad at times, you know, when they came into RE/MAC Arena. It was not a fun watch.
3-15 in conference last year. Nobody that averaged more than 5 rebounds per game. They lose one of their top scorers from last year in Elijah Hardy. Looking relatively rough there. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Steve Quist, does a great job doing play-by-play work for UC San Diego, along with ESPN. And then the team that finished at the bottom of the conference last year, Cal State Bakersfield. And I just take a look at Cal State Bakersfield. This has always been a team in which the whole has been greater than the sum of its parts. They don't necessarily have one guy that's going to be like a double-digit rebounder or a guy that's going to go out there and get you 20 points or anything like that. But it just looked a little different last season. The defense was still there, but the offense just could not wind up doing anything whatsoever. They really got killed from beyond the arc, as well as teams wound up really being able to put in the threes on them as well. I feel like this is just a little bit of an issue for a Cal State Bakersfield team that I love Rod Barnes as a coach. He always preaches good defense, but I feel like this team has just not necessarily gotten with the times with regards to the transfer portal, and they haven't done a good enough job of being able to preach perimeter defense.
It's a good point. I was just looking at their roster, and they have 3 departing seniors and 3 big guys and 3 scorers and 3 shooters. So that's going to be really, really hard to replace. And, you know, like you said, Rod's a good coach. They were a great Division II program that would often win national championships. It's a tough place to recruit, you know. I mean, especially in that Big West where, you know, one team's in Orange County, the other's overlooking La Jolla, one's in a nice town outside of Sacramento. There's all these great places, and then you have Bakersfield in the Central Valley, and it's tough, and they're losing 3 solid bigs and solid scores. You know, it's going to be a little bit of a process, a couple of years there for the Roadrunners to rebuild that thing.
Yep, I agree with you there. And with this program, they were right in the middle of the Big West last season, 6-6, and I believe that they wound up playing the fewest games of any team in D1 college basketball just due to COVID-19 stoppages with them, and that'd be UC Davis. And they were the most befuddling team in all of college basketball. They went on the road against Oregon State. They went on the road against Utah State. And then they lose on their home floor by double digits against Academy of Art, a D2 program out there in San Francisco, all in a 35-day period. They do wind up losing a few guys from last season, but Elijah Pepper winds up coming back. They've done a solid job of being able to bring in some guys in the transfer portal. DeAndre Henry is going to be coming in from Nevada. I believe that they have in Robbie Beasley as well from Montana. So I take a look at UC Davis. They were at the middle of the conference last season. I think that we're going to see a lot more of what we wound up seeing this past season as well. A little bit of inconsistency, some up and down, and a team that finishes right around 500 in the conference.
I would agree. Elijah Pepper is a really good player, and he's got another year under his belt. And he's kind of the guy that they're going to rely on. You know, Enigwe is another big there that's figuring it out. Jim Les, he's a really good coach. And, you know, they got hampered that COVID season where they went like 49 days without Yolo County allowing them to play a game. Like all they could do was practice. They couldn't leave the county because of COVID. They couldn't have anybody come in and play. And so I think that hampered their growth last year. You know, they've got a few pieces back, so they might be able to win a home game or two, but I wouldn't say that that's going to be a team, the Aggies, that's going to finish in the top half of the Big West.
Yep, I've got them right towards the middle of the conference personally. They're probably going to pick off a few teams, and they're probably going to lose some games that you're going to be like, how in the heck did they wind up losing that game? Yep. So should be a lot of fun to take a look at there, as we do have Steve Quist joining me right here for the Big West preview edition of Coast to Coast Hoops. And then I know that you've been high on this team the last few seasons, and the one reason why this team, in my opinion, could not rise up last season was that injury to Jacob Davison. Things were looking really good for Cal Poly. He came in, he was averaging right around 12 points per game first couple games of the season, and then boom, he was gone. But to be able to replace him, they have actually went to the WAC, a man that was out there for Long Beach State a few seasons ago, Chance Moore. He is going to be coming in. This Chance Hunter, he's coming in. He wound up playing at Long Beach State and shot like 40% from three with 13 points per game as a freshman. That's big for the team. Alamami Karama is back after he had 13.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. I think we're both in agreement. The Mustangs are not going to be winning the Big West this year or anything like that. But this program, I saw signs of improvement from them last season, and I think that they'll take another step forward this season.
Yeah, this has been the hardest team to figure out because I also do high school basketball on television in Southern California, and John Smith recruited really well, got a lot of good guards from, you know, the Inland Empire out there, you know, the Jordan McLaughlin area kind of kids. And they've got three, you know, Brantley Stevenson, Kobe Sanders, Cameron Pierce, and for some reason they haven't been able to put it together. They've revamped their coaching staff, so I know John's going to have a little more support there. They're adding Isaac Spears. He was a guard from Montana State, and they actually played the NCAA tournament down here in San Diego against Texas Tech, so that'll be good. They added a Cal Baptist transfer and LSU transfer too, and Karoma, as you talked about, I love him. He's a great big that can average a double-double. So hopefully John Smith and the Mustangs will take another step. If not, he might find himself on the hot seat.
Brian Penn Johnson, who you pointed out, by the way, over 7 feet tall, wasn't able to find it at the Power 5 level, but we shall see if he's able to do so at Cal Poly, because I do think that there are some good pieces there. And Steve, the team that made the NCAA tournament last season from the Big West, that would be Cal State Fullerton. And with Cal State Fullerton, they do return quite a bit of their backcourt, but losing EJ Onosiki, I think, is big. He was really the guy that did it all for the team down low. 16.5 points, 8.5 rebounds per game. Really was a Cal State Fullerton team that they didn't shoot it exceptionally well from three-point range, but because they had that increased presence down low, they were really able to make a run. I still think that this is going to be a solid team out there in the Big West, but with that said, I do think that this is a bunch that they're going to be taking a little bit of a step back this season, and I do think that it's fascinating that they're looking to some D2 guys, and Mac Jones from Tampa, along with Lathaniel Basson from Angelo State, to be able to help things out with regards to the scoring.
Yeah, and, you know, Damari Milstead was, if EJ Onosiki wasn't scoring right, Milstead was getting to the hoop, and he was scoring, and he was, you know, scoring about 12 points a game. So those were the two guys that were holding the load and the fair share of the offense. Those two guys are gone, and yeah, they're playing in the transfer market. When I looked at it today and I looked at the names, I went, wow, like you said, from Tampa, and I didn't recognize any of the names. So it'll probably be a growing experience for Fullerton, and I certainly don't expect them to be back where they were last year, to be quite honest with you.
Now, what I will say about Max Jones is that he put up 22 points per game at Tampa. I know that my home state, Wisconsin, the Badgers, they were actually after him a little bit as well. So I think that he's going to be solid for Cal State Fullerton, but I'm trying to replace EJ Onosiki, and it's going to be a little bit of a drop-off for this team, as we do have Steve Quist joining me on the podcast. Does a great job as he play-by-play voice for UC San Diego, and on top of that, does some great work at ESPN as well. And then the team that was able to rise up and finish towards the top of the conference, Long Beach State, and they were a completely different team in conference versus out of conference. Out of conference, they allowed more than 80 points per game. In conference, they allowed 67.5 points per game. So I thought that was very curious to take a look at. Dan Monson always schedules very, very tough out of conference. Yep. When it came to last season, you had a battle of two teams. I think that where Long Beach State is somewhere in between. I don't think that they were quite as good as the defense that they showed towards back half last season. I don't think that they are as bad as the one towards the front half of last season. I think things will iron out. I don't think Long Beach State repeats in the conference, but I still think that they've formed themselves as a pretty good team and a team that should be towards the top three, top four again.
Yeah, they'll be able to score. Lost twice to UCLA, right? They had that game they played UCLA, and then UCLA had COVID and then needed a few warm-up games before restarting the Pac-12 season. So they played Long Beach State a second time. So that's where those numbers are kind of funny, in conference and out of conference. But they got a VCU transfer. They also got another kid, Lasina Traore. Now, he's not the brother of Abubakar Traore, who we were talking about earlier. He was a fabulous freshman. They're friends. They actually are from the same high school in the same country, but they're not related to one another. So they're getting that kid in. He was a freshman at St. Louis last year. And then the VCU, you know, anytime you get, you know, an A-10 transfer in, that's good. But if anybody hasn't seen Abubakar Traore play, I mean, he was fantastic. All the rebounds that he would get last year and the scoring, and he's just going to be better this year with a full season under his belt and hopefully, you know, not many COVID issues this year. We keep forgetting, you know, 2 years was the big, 2 years ago was the big COVID year. But even last year, especially around Christmas time, everybody seemed to get shut down as well. And there was a lot going on. This hopefully will be the first year that everyone will be back 100% and get the whole entire season in. You know, you're losing Colin Slater, who is, a great scorer, but you did get Joel Murray back, who put himself into the NBA draft and then removed his name. So he's a guy that can score for you. So they've got some good pieces to build around. And at this point, you know, it's still early before the season too, and there's so much of the COVID, who's still got eligibility left as far as COVID's concerned. It'll be interesting to see how some of these rosters play out too, with guys that are like, okay, I think I'm just going to go and do something else or turn pro in Europe.
Yeah, I do think that that's interesting to take a look at. And to your point, Murray, top scorer for the team last year and also a steal and a half per contest. So he was a very big cog for Long Beach State that they're getting back. And how about this cog? Zion Pullen. He was amazing for UC Riverside last season. 14.5 points, 5.5 boards, 4.5 assists. He was terrific. Now, losing Colin McRae, 7'1" big man that was able to give the team 8 rebounds per game, that is a little bit tough, but I absolutely love what Mike MacPayo has been able to do. First 19 seasons at the Big West, they were 500 or worse in every single one of those years in conference. They have now went 20-12 the last two seasons. They've done a relatively solid job of being able to bring in a couple guys via the transfer portal as well. They've done it through just tough, tenacious defense. I think that this is a team that's going to be back towards the top of the conference once again, especially with them bringing in a guy in Kyle Owens I like from Montana.
Yeah, I think they're getting a fabulous high school kid too. I did his game, Caleb Smith from Damien High School in Laverne. He won a state championship at a high level in California for Mike LeDuc's program at Laverne. His sister is fantastic. She's out at Rancho Cucamonga High School in a couple of years. She's young. In 2 years when she's a senior and eligible, she's probably going to be a McDonald's All-American. One of the best players in the country. So they're getting him. He's a really good scorer. And then Dominic Pickett, you know, can score. He is one of the best stories. He was just like a manager and they asked him to play. And then he was one of their best players and best scorers last year. And Flynn Cameron's getting some international experience with a team in Australia this year. So there's a lot of good things to build around there. And Zion Pullen is one of my favorite guards, and we had talked about this before. I was hoping that he would transfer to Arizona, for goodness sakes. But I did see that he had some pre-draft workouts as well. I would assume he took his name out. I didn't get any confirmation on whether he took his name out of the draft. I don't think he's in there, and whether or not he's decided
sure he
to come
out,
back
yeah.
to. Yeah, I was thinking so too. I saw him in a Laker jersey and on a tweet, but they might not have been that updated on their tweets. But certainly not a guy that could play in the NBA right now. You could see that, but I mean, a fantastic, like, going to be a great, you know, fourth and fifth year college guy if he stays the whole time at Riverside.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there's a lot to like with UC Riverside, and I think that there's a lot to like with another UC school. That'd be UC Santa Barbara. They only bring in one transfer, but this transfer is a big one. Andre Kelly, 13.4 points, 8.4 rebounds at the Pac-12 level. That's the Pac-12. He's going down to the Big West. That is absolutely huge. And then on top of that, for UC Santa Barbara, they were bringing in a guy that I liked in Zach Harvey from last year. A little bit of a 6'6" combo player. While he was at Cincinnati, shot right around 46% from three, missed all of last year due to an ankle injury. He is going to be back in the fold for this team as well. UC Santa Barbara started out the year a little bit rough. They picked up steam as the season went along. Guys like Miles Norris are very versatile for this team. Azir Sinai, 6'3" guard. He was able to put up 10 points per contest. He's back in the fold. I take a look at this UC Santa Barbara team, and I think that Andre Kelly is a massive game changer for them.
Yeah, everybody's getting bigger too in this conference. Santa Barbara does lose three big pieces though, and Amadou Sow. So he's exhausted his eligibility. Sonny no longer here, and Miles Norris. So as you said, Andre Kelly at size is going to play big time in the Big West Conference. So, you know, I mean, at 6'8", 13 points, almost 9 rebounds, I think it was 8.4 rebounds And he shot 61% in the Pac-12 for not a very good team. Now he's going to come to a really good team with a good system and, you know, has a chance maybe to be Big West Player of the Year as they lose, you know, Amadou Sow, who certainly was in the discussion with maybe they had a better year.
Should be a good year for UC Santa Barbara, in my opinion, is joining me on the podcast. We do have Steve Quist, does a great job over there at ESPN and also play-by-play voice of UC San Diego. And then when it comes to UC Irvine, just a team that year in and year out, they're always a machine when it comes to the Big West. Them finishing in fourth last season, that is one of the worst results that they've had in quite a long time. And they do wind up losing Colin Phelps, who wound up having 14 points,
yep,
six half boards per game. He was absolutely magnificent. But Dawson Baker is back, meant a lot to this team. 13-6 was this team when he was out there on the court, 2-4 without him. And they brought in a guy that I like in Pierre Cockrell, who should be able to help out with a little bit of facilitating. And that's what I really felt has been the missing piece for this UC Irvine team, a guy that's able to dish it out like he does. So I think that that's going to be massive for a team that, you know, they're going to play great defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Russell Turner builds that team about around, is like playing great defense. So they're going to win, you know, almost every game. They went to the Galen Center and almost won there. And yeah, you got to replace Velp, but you got Dawson Baker in, who's a young player who's going to develop into a Velp type player. And then Russell Turner always plays good defense, so they should finish in the top three every year.
UC Irvine, a program that, unlike any other, they find themselves towards the top of the Big West. And Steve, we've got one other program to take a look at, and that'd be Hawaii. And Hawaii, as we know, they've got the most distinct home court advantage out there in this conference, because they're the only ones that's out in the state of California, and they're the only ones in all of college basketball out there on an island, literally. So that winds up helping them out a little bit. But I take a look at this Hawaii team. Even without Juan Munoz, who was coming in from the Big South, they were able to do some nice things last year. Kameka Hepa was able to do a nice job of being able to bury some threes. They bring in Ryan Rapp, someone who really couldn't find his form last season at Washington State, but 2 years ago was able to give out right around 2 assists per game. Hawaii always seems to need that defensive stopper, and I think that he could be that for them. They've got a lot of good three-point shooting. They do a solid job on the glass. They do lose Jerome Rosieres. He's someone that wanted coming in from Princeton, was able to do a solid job for them. But I do take a look overall at Hawaii, and I do think that this is a program that they're going to be challenging towards the top of the conference, much like they did a season ago, especially with that distinct home court advantage.
So if Noel Coleman can come back and play the way he played last year and score and put the ball in the bucket, he'll be fine. Losing a Jerome DeRozier will be big, but I think a guy like De Silva will stand. He's kind of a 4-5, right? If he can slash too, I think he'll be able to give them the points and the rebounds that they need, can fill that hole. And they got a good recruiting class coming in, a lot of guys coming in. I think it's like 5 new guys as well. So Aaron Gannat is a great coach out there. You know, it's hard to go to Hawaii over there and stay focused and try and win a game. So, but it's also hard for them to come back and and try and win in, you know, stateside. So should be a fun year in the Big West Conference.
Oh, I agree with you. And having to travel multiple time zones, both for Hawaii and whoever winds up visiting them, that's always a little bit tough. But I can tell you right now, if you ever get the chance to go to Hawaii, always a lot of fun. And Steve, I know that you do a terrific job taking a look at the Big West. And on top of that, just all your work over there at college basketball, you do a great job with their play-by-play work. I know you're doing some college baseball as well. And hey, College World Series is going on right now. So that is very topical, and I know you do just a wide variety of things when it comes to the play-by-play world. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, at Steve Quist 1, starting huge high school football campaign coming up and doing some indoor football, and you can, you know, follow me at Steve Quist 1.
Yep, it is starting to be football season once again, and high school football, it's a big deal out there in Texas, but in California as well. Don't sleep on all the prospects that wind up being made out there, as there's going to be a lot of great football played out there. Steve is going to be covering that, and then once we wind up hitting the winter months, Steve going to be doing a great job being able to call all these games on ESPN, UC San Diego, list goes on and on. You always find them in a wide variety of platforms every year and always does a great job, just like he did on this podcast. So big thanks to Steve for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts, the Big West Preview Edition. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast that give you my projector or finish for the Big West.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the Easton Family Podcast. Steve Quist has joined me a few times for the Big West preview. He always delivers the goods. It is going to be a very fascinating conference, and like I said at the top, it's going to be, in my opinion, one of the most competitive conferences, 1 through 11 in all of college basketball. So great to be able to get him aboard for this conference preview. A big thanks, Sam, for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you my projector or finish for the Big West, and just want to reiterate the fact that because I am not doing the news and notes of college basketball from Wednesday on this podcast, I've got you covered for Wednesday and Thursday on tomorrow's podcast. So do not worry there. We have got you covered with regards to taking a look at everything in college basketball. We've been seeing a few moves, and there's a couple other things that I will be monitoring as well. But with that said, it is starting to be conference preview season, and taking a look at the conference, boy, oh boy, I think that's going to be a little bit tough with regards to CSUN. I've got them dead last in my projector or finish because it's just take a look at the CSUN team. It sort of has been sort of thrown together on the fly as Trent Johnson, he wanted pretty much becoming the head coach before last season with Mark Godfrey dealing with a whole bunch of ordeals. And with regards to the CSUN team, they just had no rhyme or rhythm last season. You had no idea what you were going to be able to get out of them in a night-in and night-out basis. They were in the bottom 50 in all of college basketball in terms of scoring. As a matter of fact, 347th out of 358 D1 teams. They were 330th in three-point shooting percentage. In terms of opponents' two-point shooting percentage, they were 309th. They weren't good on offense. They weren't good on defense. They lose Elijah Hardy, who was one of their best three-point shooters, and at 31.4%, I can't believe that I just said that he's one of their best three-point shooters, but he was, with 12 points, led the team with 2.8 assists per game. They don't return a single player that had more than 1.6 assists per game. Now, this is a program that traditionally, they do wind up being able to scour the JUCO market, but they really don't have too many noteworthy guys from the junior college ranks that are going to be joining this team either. They have done an okay job of being able to bring in a couple of transfers that should be able to help them out. Deshaun Ellen Eikens is someone that was at North Dakota to begin his career and was an all-freshman performer out there in the Summit League, but he couldn't find his footing with New Orleans. That was a little bit of an issue for him. They are bringing in Deontay Bostic as well, someone who wound up seeing a few minutes over there at Murray State, but not someone that necessarily was able to tear it up with them. So I just take a look at the Cal State Northridge team. You don't have a lot of rebounding with regards to it. Oni Asi'i was really their main rebounder last season. He should be back in the fold for them after he was able to give them right in the neighborhood of about 4 rebounds per game. But I mean, there wasn't a single guy on the team that averaged 5 rebounds per game. They do an okay job of generating steals, but they don't have a lot of offense. They don't have a lot of defense. They really don't have a go-to guy. Dead last in my projector of finish, we go CSUN. At number 10, it is going to be UC San Diego. Losing Tony Rosach, I think, is really going to be tough for them, because with Rokach, I hope I'm saying it correctly on one of those, because I have always struggled with his name. I do apologize. He is now at San Francisco. He averaged 15 points, 6.5 rebounds per game. He was really a head of the snake for the team. Chipped in there 2 assists, and a steal per contest. Wasn't a great 3-point shooter, but the guys around him were very good at shooting threes. And UC San Diego last year actually was a top 35 team in terms of 3-point shooting percentage. Jake Keselowski was able to shoot about 47-ish% from 3-point range. That was actually really good for them, but you just take a look at what you're losing, and I don't think that bringing in someone like Emmanuel Shaminga is really going to be able to offset that. He was someone that wound up playing within the conference last season, a guy that was able to put up 3.5 rebounds per game in what is a quite brutal conference. But with that said, I don't think that he's necessarily the answer for this team. You just take a look at the roster itself, and you just wind up losing a lot of guys from last season. Bryce Pope, he's able to give you 12.5 points per game, and with some of your good 3-point shooters back, that should be able to help. And I am interested to see what Jerron Brooks is able to do. He is a former top 100 recruit that wound up coming in after he wound up spending his first few seasons at USC and Washington. So pair of Pac-12 schools, just could never really get any sort of footing whatsoever. He's 6'9". He's got a little bit of versatility, but we need to see it before I can really buy into him. With Shaminga, should be able to help out a little bit down low, but Falu Cisse, I had a little bit of higher hopes for him last season. He didn't wind up necessarily being able to develop for the team. You also do wind up losing really a floor general in Jake Killingsworth, just a master of a little bit of everything. Was able to deliver 7 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds, shot 40%+ from 3-point range. I think that that's a loss that is going to mean a lot more than a lot of people might be thinking as well. So I do think that it's going to be another rough year for UC San Diego at the D1 level. I've got them number 10 in my projector or finish. At number 9, I'm going to be going with Cal State Bakersfield. With Bakersfield, it was just a very bland and mundane team last year that didn't have a go-to scorer, because with Bakersfield, they really did a good job of not allowing big runs where they wound up getting just completely destroyed, but they didn't have a go-to guy to where they were able to win any of those close games, which is why in games that were decided by single figures, they were one of the worst teams in all of college basketball last season. I expect a little bit more of the same this season, especially when you do wind up taking the losses that you do, and you only wind up bringing in one guy. Now, Modestus Concleras is someone that is a former top 200 recruit. He comes in from the continent of Europe. He was someone that was very high on when he wound up going to Creighton, wound up going down with a torn ACL during the 2020-21 season. I honestly think that he's going to come in, and he's going to be able to give this team some very good production, but now he's asked to be the guy after at Creighton. He was just a guy that was coming in off the bench, and I don't know if he's going to be able to adapt to that role. We have seen a few guys come into this conference and be able to do so. I don't know if he necessarily fits that mold. And then on top of that, with his Bakersfield team, you wind up losing Sean Williams. He's currently undecided with regards to where he's going to be going in the transfer portal, but that's a little bit of a loss. Someone that wanted to be getting his career at Kansas State, and I felt like he was going to be a big cog for this team after last season. He was able to do some relatively solid things. He was able to put up 6.5 points, 2.5 assists per game while he was out there. You do also wind up losing a guy in Justin McCall, who is a fifth-year guy, heart and soul of the team, 11 points, 4.5 rebounds per game, the only guy that really averaged more than 9.5 points per game. Caleb Higgins was able to do a relatively solid job for this bunch last season. He figures to be back in the fold after he wound up having 9.5 points per game, but you legitimately bring back one guy from last year that shot above 30% from 3-point range in Justin Elder Davis. So That's an issue for this team as well, as he was able to put up right around 8.5 points per contest, but you really don't have a lot of rebounding for this team. This is always a team that they pride themselves on being able to hit the glass. Other than Elder Davis, you don't have a single guy returning that average more than 4 rebounds per game. It is always a little bit of a whole is greater than the sum of its parts team, and they will sort of lull you to sleep. But the only thing that's going to be low to sleep is this team's chances of being able to win games. So at number 9 in my projector finish, I go with Cal State Bakersfield. At number 8, I'm going to be going with Cal Poly. All of a sudden, it feels like Cal Poly is building a little bit of upward momentum. If they could have kept Jacob Davison out there on the floor for a full season, I honestly feel like it could have been a little bit of a turnaround. Now they wind up bringing in Chance Hunter. They are taking a chance on Mr. Hunter, as he wound up beginning his career actually in the conference for Long Beach State. And if he's able to be anything close to what he was his freshman year at Long Beach State, where he had 14 points per game, shot 42% from three with 5 rebounds per game, look out below, because you can tell that he wasn't necessarily the best fit with the Lancers. He wound up putting up 7.5 points, 4 boards per game out there in the WAC, but certainly a guy that with 6'6", a little bit of versatility, is going to be able to help out this team. And then you've got Almami Karama, one of my favorites, a gentleman that at 6'8", was able to put up 13.5 points, 5.5 boards. He really was the heart and soul of this team. He only shot right around 27.5% from three, so bringing in the three-point shooting of Hunter, that is going to be able to help out this team. Cameron Pierce, along Travion Taylor, were guys that were I was high on, especially Taylor, someone who put up 9 points, 5.5 boards per game. Meanwhile, with Pierce, he did a very good job of being able to dole out the ball. He was able to give the team right in the neighborhood about 4 assists per game. Both of these guys are going to be back in the fold. And then you also wind up bringing in Brian Penn Johnson, a little bit of a wild card, 7'1" gentleman that began his career at LSU and also Washington, just could never wind up seeing the floor. If he's able to give this team anything whatsoever, because this has never been a team that has necessarily been good on glass, you might be looking at a Cal Poly team that could really rise up the ranks. And so right now I've got them number 8 in my projected order finish, but I think all of a sudden, finally, and I mean finally, things are looking a little bit better for this team as we go number 7 in my projector finish with UC Davis. With UC Davis, one of the most befuddling teams I have ever seen in my life. In a 5-week span last season, they wound up knocking off Utah State and Oregon State on the road, and they also lost to Academy of Art on their home floor, a D2 school from San Francisco, by double figures. So go figure there. With UC Davis, they were a team that they relied quite a bit on the three last season, and when you wind up losing Ezra Manjon, a guy that was able to give you 4 assists per game out there in the backcourt, that is going to wind up hurting, though. They do wind up bringing back really their top scorer from last year in Elijah Pepper, 15 points, 5.5 rebounds per game, and then Christian Aniwe, their top rebounder, with nearly 10 points, 5.7 boards per game. That is going to be able to help them out as well. And Pepper, he wound up being one of their more consistent three-point shooters, 37% from long range. Kane Milling, he wound up coming in from Nevada, shot 38% from three-point range. But the loss of Caleb Fuller, I think, is very big. He was a little bit of a stat sheet, suffered 12 points, 5.5 boards, right around 2 assists per game. It was a team that they wound up playing a lot of positionless basketball last season, with really Aniwe the only guy that wound up seeing significant minutes that was above 6'6". So I do think that it's going to be intriguing to see how things wind up coming together for them. They do wind up bringing in a guy that I really like from Montana, Robbie Beasley, 12.8 points per game, shot 37% from three, so it's clear what they're going to be looking to do. And then 6'7" combo player DeAndre Henry is going to be coming in from Nevada as well, but he didn't wind up doing a lot at Nevada. I think that this is a team that's going to have a little bit of a tough time on the glass. I think that their three-point shooting that was 206th last season, that is going to be able to improve a little bit, but it's just a very inconsistent team in general. They have their triumphs, they have their collapses. They were towards the middle of the conference last season. They had up and down results last season. I see the exact same thing for our good friends UC Davis this season. So as a result, I have them number 7 in terms of my projector or finish. At number 6, I am going to be going with Cal State Fullerton. When it comes to this Fullerton team, the loss of EJ Onosike, I just think, is really going to wind up gutting them. He was the heart and soul of what they wound up doing down low last season. And if I'm saying heart and soul a lot, you do have a lot of these guys that at this conference in the Big West, you just wind up having these guys go into complete and utter takeover mode, and as a result, they have went down to the D2 level to wind up trying to bring in a little bit of talent to be able to help with this, because they're just not going to find someone that's able to put up 16.5 points, 8.3 rebounds per game. They lose to Mari Millsy, 12 points, 2.8 assists per contest. Big thing for this Fullerton team is that they were 239th in all of college basketball last season in terms of three-point shooting percentage, and they're going to be looking to Max Jones from Tampa to really be able to light it up. This guy last last season was just a complete and utter walking bucket for them. I can tell you that Wisconsin was in on this, guys. He averaged 22 points, 4.5 rebounds, 2.7 assists on 44% three-point shooting. No doubt, it's a little bit of a lower level of basketball, but he was able to do an absolutely amazing job for this team. And then you've got Lathaniel Beston. He is going to be coming in after he was at D2 Angelo State. He was able to put up some relatively solid numbers for them down low. Not necessarily much of a scorer, but was able to give the team right around 7 rebounds per game. That is something that this team is going to be badly needing. So he's able coming off the bench. He's going to be able to give this team a few minutes. But they did also wind up losing Trey Maddox, who was a big cog from the team last season. 9.5 points per contest. One of the few reliable three-point shooters along with Millsead, who was able to shoot right around 36.5% from three-point range. So that is going to be a little bit of an issue for this team as well. It's been a long and winding road for Jalen Harris, as he was a solid three-point shooter for the team last season as well. But I do take a look at this Cal State Fullerton team. They're just not going to be the same team that they were on the glass. As a result, I do think that their defense is going to wind up suffering a little bit. And losing Trey Maddox Jr., one of the floor generals for the team a season ago, I think that that's going to affect them as well when you take a look at how competitive this conference is going to be. So number six in my projector or finish, the team that went to the NCAA tournament from this conference in Cal State Fullerton. And number five, I'm going to be going with UC Irvine. Zot for the Anteaters, as, well, they're going to be losing their top player in Colin Velp. 14 points, 6.5 rebounds per game, and as a matter of fact, the three guys that wound up having at least 3 rebounds per game for the team last season, they are all gone, and they really don't replace it with too much. Devin Tillis is someone that wound up sitting out last season after he began his career at UNLV, and he's a little bit of a stretchable guy. 6'6" combo player, was able to put up 3.7 points, 3.5 boards, was able to shoot it okay from three-point range at right around 38%. In his 1 year at UNLV. So I do think that he's going to be able to provide a little bit of something off the top. And Dawson Baker is a very big part of this team as well, because Dawson Baker wound up missing a few games last season. And when Dawson Baker was off the floor, the team was 2-4. They were 13-6 with him. So I think that that's something important to take a look at. And you do have DJ Turnitup Davis along with Justin Hohen. These two guys combined for 16.5 points, 3.5 assists per game. They shot as a collective 87.5% at the free throw line. And as a team, UC Irvine was actually 13th in the country in three-point shooting percentage. JC Butler should be getting some minutes, and Pierre Cockrell should be able to give this team a little bit more facilitation, because this has been an Irvine bunch that one of their big Achilles heel has been that they don't have that one guy that's able to give out the ball. Their leader in assists last year was Hohen with 2 assists per game. He was able to give out a little bit more than 4 per contest at Pacific, so that should be able to help them out. But UC Irvine has always been built on really good, tough defense down low. You wind up losing Phelps. You wind up losing, on top of that, your main shot blocker, a guy that was able to give you multiple blocks per game in Austin Johnson. 2.5, as a matter of fact. I think that that is really going to be hurting them, which is why I've got UC Irvine tumbling down my rankings a little bit. I've got them number 5 in my projector of finish. And number 4, I'm going to be going with UC Riverside. After being 500 or worse in conference in their first 19 seasons at the D1 level in the Big West, Mike McPayo has taken this program, and in the last 2 years, they are 20-12 in conference, but they must replace 7'1" Colin McRae. Led the team 11 points, 8 rebounds, 2.5 assists per game, but you notice some guys come on down the stretch, as Will Tattersall. He was shooting right around 35% from three-point range for the entirety of the season, but final 14 games of the season, shot 45% from three with a little bit over 10.5 points per game after averaging 8 for the entirety of the campaign. If you can get good Jamal Hartwell in the fold, that would be big. He averages 2.9 points per game last season at George Mason. A few seasons ago, 2019-20 season, shot right around 35.5% from three, and he was able to put up 9.5 points per contest. They also have a 6'8" combo player in Kyle Owens coming in. Did not wind up shooting it well from three-point range last season, but 2 seasons ago, 10.5 points, 5.5 boards, 40% from three. Flynn Cameron, someone's able to shoot 35% from three. It was just very touch and go with regards to the outside shooting for this UC Riverside team, but with Riverside three-point shooting defense, they were 30th in college basketball. McPayo has really done a good job of being able to preach what wound up coming before him in David Patrick, who is now at Sacramento State after he wound up spending some time with Oklahoma along with Arkansas. And that's just a little bit of a slower brand of basketball, being able to do a good job of being able to hit the glass without having out there Colin McRae. That's going to hurt. But Zion Polian, one of the most versatile players in the conference, 14 points, 4.3 assists, 5.5 rebounds per game. I think that this is a Riverside team that's going to be very live, but I did have to downgrade them for losing Colin McRae, along with Don Pickett, who's just out of eligibility after he wound up putting up 11.5 points and 4 rebounds per game as well. So in my projector or finish, it's due to the fact that they don't have a lot of depth. Number 4 is UC Riverside. And number 3, I'm going to be going with Long Beach State. with Long Beach State, this team was really able to elevate last season, as you had a duo on Joel Murray along with Colin Slater that wound up both giving you 2.8 assists per game. They combined for 31 points per contest. You wound up seeing Slater shoot 39.5% from three, Murray more in the pocket, about 37% from distance, and Murray was able to give you a steal and a half per game. It was a very, very good deal. But on top of that, with Long Beach State, lo and behold, the defense wound up doing something after they gave up over 80 points per game out of conference. They wound up giving up 67.5 points per game when they were in conference play, which means that all of a sudden they could be turning over a little bit of a new leaf for Dan Monson. That is going to be, in my opinion, just very big for them. And then they wind up bringing in Marcus Sionis to be able to help out this backcourt. Sionis wound up being someone that began his career at Washington. He shot right around 37% from three-point range last season. Did not wind up putting up very gaudy numbers, but he is someone that, while he was in the Pac-12 over there at Washington, I believe that he had a season which he wound up putting up 10.5 points per game. So I do think that the upside with him is going to be very, very big. A little bit of lower usage last season, but he comes in from a VCU program that, you know what they do? They guard you, and they guard you very, very hard. Lacina Traer was someone that was a little bit more subtly used at St. Louis, but he should be able to see him out down low, because with Long Beach State, if I did have a question mark with this team, it would be how would they be able to rebound? Because you take a look at what they wound up doing last season, and in terms of the boards, they wound up being pretty much even up on the glass. You'd like them to be a little bit better than that for them to be able to win this conference, and on top of that, they did wind up losing one of the top recruits that they've ever gotten in program history in AJ Neal. He was a former top 200 guy. He has decided that he is going to be going to Chicago State, so that does wind up putting them behind the eight ball just a shade. But with that said, you do have quite a bit of talent, in my opinion, with this team, even though you have been dealing with Colin Slater most likely being out of the fold because he wound up having a fifth year, but he was limited to just 9 games last season. You do bring back Abadur Traer, who was able to put up 8.5 points, 8 rebounds per game, but he was the only guy that put up more than 4.3 rebounds per game. A lot of this is going to rely upon newer guys and freshmen being able to step up, being able to hit the glass. I think that this is still going to be a very solid Long Beach State team, but I just think that with what they wound up doing towards the beginning of the year to the end of the year, they took strides forward, but you got to fear that there might be a little bit of regression with that as well. So number 3, my projector finish going for Long Beach State. And number 2, I'm going to be going with Hawaii. Part of this is because half their games are going to be on the island as well, and they've got one of the most demonstrative home court advantages in all of college basketball. When you wind up having to travel to Hawaii, you're traveling across quite a few different time zones, and they do lose Jerome Desrosiris. He was at Princeton before he wound up coming into the program last year. He was one of the top scorers with 11 points, 6.5 rebounds per game. The NCAA did not allow Ivy League players that wound up being robbed of a year due to the pandemic to be able to get an extra one, so he's out of the fold, but darn near everyone else is back. Noel Coleman did wind up missing a couple games last season, but when he was out there, he was one of the best peer shooters in all of college basketball. Shot 44% from three on over 5 three-point attempts per contest, put up 15 points, 2 assists per game. They do need a little bit more consistent ball handling, as your main guy for that, 6 points, 3.5 assists per game out of Jovan McClanahan, but I do think that this is a Hawaii team that they've got a lot of upside. Juan Munoz is someone that did not wind up playing at all for the team last season after he was coming in from the Big South, and when he was over there in the Big South, Juan Munoz was very much an impact player during the 2020-21 season. 13 points, 3 assists, shot 38.5% from 3-point range. He should be eligible this season. He's going to be able to give this team a very nice boost. Junior Madeau is someone that's 6'5". He put up 11 points per game from 3-point range. He shot 38% from 3-point range. Kameka Hepa is a former top 75 recruit. He shot 40% from 3. After beginning his career at Texas, he was able to light it up. 9.5 points, 5 rebounds per game. So this is a team that they still have quite a bit of good rebounding on their team. And then you take a little bit of a look past that, and you are going to be bringing in a few guys that are going to be able to give this team a little bit of production. You bring back Bernardo da Silva, who was able to give you 9.5 points per contest as well. It was a team that was very, very deadly from three-point range, but they're able to play fast. In conference, they played at one of the slowest paces in all of college basketball, so they're a little bit of a chameleon with that regard. And they wind up bringing in Ryan Rapp to be able to help out as well. A little bit of a 6'5 combo player. Last year, he was playing in the Pac-12 for Washington State, and was someone that wound up actually warranting right around 20.5 minutes per contest during the 2020-21 season. Took a big giant dip with regards to just his overall playing time last season, but someone who was able to give out a little bit over 2 assists per game as a 6'5", little bit of a more defensive stopper, I think is the best way of putting it during that 2020-21 season. Should be able to help him out. If you take a look at 24/7 Sports, coming into the 2019 season, there were quite a few schools that were in on him, a little bit more of an international prospect from Australia. I do think that he's going to be able to come in. He's going to be able to give this team a nice little defensive presence, because you've noticed it with this team just throughout the years, whether it be Drew Bugs or other guys, they always like to have that one facilitator that is a defensive stopper. Ryan Rapp certainly provides that, and I do think that he's going to be able to fortify a Hawaii team that I'm relatively high on. I've got them number two in my projector of finish, but at number one, we're going with UC Santa Barbara, the Gauchos. I love what Joe Pasternak has done with this program. They do wind up losing Amadou Sow from last season, 15.5 points, 8.5 rebounds per game, but what do you replace him with? Andre 3000 Kelly, 13.4 points, 8.4 rebounds in the pack 12. He is going to completely light this conference up. I am very excited to see him. You've got Miles Norris. Now out of the fold, that's a little bit of a blow because he was a former top 100 recruit, was able to put up 10.5 points, right around 6.5 boards per game. But with that said, you do wind up bringing back A.J. Mitchell as well, who as a freshman was able to do a nice job. He was able to give the team a little bit over 10 points per contest, which that'll continue to breathe life into a backcourt that you can tell that last season they were in transition after they wound up losing Ja'Cory McLaughlin with Mitchell. He was also able to give out 3.7 assists per contest. Not a great three-point shooter at 33%, but I do think that that's going to come along for the ride as well. Ajir Sinai, 10 points, 3 assists per contest. Josh Pierre-Louis is able to give you 3 assists per game. Calvin Weisert, who wound up coming in from Georgia Southern. He's someone that does a good job of ball hawking. 7 points, 3 assists, 1.2 steals per game. It's really a facilitate by committee sort of backcourt. And now you also have Zach Harvey healthy as well. You wound up missing all of last season due to an ankle injury. He came in after being a relatively highly touted guy from Cincinnati. And while he was at Cincinnati during the 2020-21 season, 6.5 points per game on 45.8% 3-point shooting. He should be able to give this team a nice little outside presence as 6'6". He is a very good combo player for the team. Santa Barbara, it's not like they've went out and they wound up doing a ton in the transfer portal, but you know what? Being able to bring in Harvey after he sat out last season, that is going to qualify. And then true freshman, Coach Keat. He is a 6'9 combo player. 24/7 Sports had him rated as the number 192 recruit for the class of 2022. There were the likes of UCLA and USC that were taking a look at him. He's someone that wound up in his sectional championship game having 6 assists, a guy that is able to shoot threes at his 6'9 stature. He is going to come in, he's going to see very meaningful minutes. One of the best, in my opinion, recruits coming into a mid-major in all of college basketball. I think that this UC Santa Barbara team has all the goods. I love the way that Pasternak has been able to coach up this team. And keep in mind, this is a team that 2 seasons ago, they were 12 seed in the NCAA tournament and very nearly knocked off Creighton. So Santa Barbara, my number one team in my projector or finish for the Big West. And that will do it for the Big West preview day of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family podcast. If you ever have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, size per usual. Please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, Arable Fire, and whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast, via that 5-star review, a big thanks to Steve Quist. Does a great job over there at ESPN. He joined me in the last segment. Going to be coming at you guys every single day during the offseason, conference previews and news and notes of college basketball. And then once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I appreciate you guys tuning in today, and I'll come at you once again tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.